Amen. Let's go ahead and take our Bibles tonight to Galatians chapter 6. We're in the last chapter in the book of Galatians, and we'll be done here probably in the next 2 or 3 weeks. And at the beginning of the year, we'll probably begin a new book of the Bible. You'd be praying as the Lord lead and direct us in the, which book would be the next one that we do on Wednesday nights. But here in Galatians chapter number 6, we have some pretty famous verses that probably most of them that you're familiar with. And the title of tonight's message is, What Type of Harvest Are You Expecting? What type of harvest are you expecting? Here in the Word of God tonight in Galatians chapter 6, Paul is dealing with the practical side of things. In the last chapter, last few verses, we've been learning how to help a brethren that's overtaken in a fault. Talked about bearing one another's burdens. We talked about being humbled. We've talked about proving our own work. We talked about some burdens that we had to carry on our own. Verse number 6, we won't spend much time here, is in reference to the preacher, the teacher of God's Word, and how they should communicate and take care of the preacher of God's Word. And we won't spend much time there. But it says, verse 6, let him that is taught in the Word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. And so, verse number 7 and verse number 8 and verse number 9 is where we're going to focus at tonight. And these are the words and the verses that are a little bit more common for us here. Verse number 7, the Bible says, be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. Tonight, when we look at this passage of Scripture, I got to be honest with you, sometimes the Scripture and the sermons come really easy. Sometimes it's pretty evident and pretty, the Lord leads and directs and guides what exactly wants to be said. There's so much in these verses, so we might spend more than 1 week here, but we're going to try to get them all inside 1 week here. And tonight, I pray you get a blessing out of this service. What type of harvest are you expecting? Let's have a word of prayer and ask the Lord's help tonight. God, we know that we need to hear from you. Lord, I know these people do not need to hear from me, but Lord, they need to hear from your word. And Lord, I pray that you speak to my heart on what to say, Lord, so you can speak to the people's hearts. Lord, I pray you use me tonight, Lord, to be a blessing to them. But Lord, show us what we need to work on. Help us communicate the things that need to be said. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, there's some basic laws in the world that we live in. Think about if you climbed up onto the top of a large building and you dropped an apple or a peach from there, what's going to happen? It's going to splat. It's a law of gravity. It's going to happen every time. Hopefully it hits the ground and not a person, but it's going to hit and it's going to cause it to fall. And you say, what does that have to do with anything? Well, the peach, why did the peach fall? It's because God has devised some laws for this universe. That is one called the law of gravity. Well, just like the law, Lord instituted laws for the universe that are bound by physical things, God also has instituted laws that affect us spiritually. And here in verse number 7, we see one of these laws that probably most of us are familiar with. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. And when we think of this passage of Scripture tonight, I'm thinking, as I was studying, as I was looking, as reading and meditating, you know, what type of harvest are we really truly expecting? What are we planting? What are we sowing? And what is it that we plan on reaping someday? There's three things I want you to look at and three things I want you to understand. First thing is, don't be deceived about your sowing. Secondly, don't be doubtful about your sowing. And thirdly, don't be discouraged about your reaping. Don't be discouraged about your reaping. So point number one, don't be deceived about your sowing. You see that in verse number 7, be not deceived. God is not mocked. There are some people in the world today that think they can get over and they can get by and they think that they'll never have to answer to God. And it might seem like the wicked seems like they're getting away with things. But the Bible says here, be not deceived. God is not mocked. Consider those that thought they could get away with God and get away from doing things. And there's a lot of Bible examples, but the one that stands out more than anything in my mind is David. David, there, he sinned with Bathsheba. Instead of getting it right, instead of confessing it, instead of doing whatever was necessary, he goes and he tries to cover it up. He brings Uriah home. He sends Uriah to his house. Uriah is not willing to go in into his wife and messes up all his plans. And then instead, David has Uriah, one of his greatest warriors, put to death. And he thinks everything's okay and everything's fine. But we see that later on that David does have to pay for that sin penalty. Even one of God's choicest servants cannot mock God. Even one of God's choicest servants cannot stick his nose up to God and say, this is what I'm going to do, and you can't do anything about it. David here tries to do this, and in the end, David does reap fourfold. We see the different sons of his that were put to death. We see the sin of the raping of the half-sister Tamar. There's many, many different things that David reaped because of this one sin. And we can be sure what the Bible says, be sure your sin will find you out. See, here's the principle here, is that we need to consider those who thought that God or no one else was going to find out. The second thing underneath that idea of not being deceived is consider the seed. Consider the seed. Now, consider the type of seed that you're planting here. It says, whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. And I got to be honest with you, I've never, ever personally had a garden here. I know we have some farmers. I know my wife has had a garden before. My wife plants flowers outside. I've never planted, really to my knowledge, a seed. Except for, you know, when you were a kid, you eat those watermelons and you see those seeds, you go outside and you throw it outside in the ground thinking that you're going to have this great patch of watermelons. And I never had one come up. I guess maybe I didn't dig deep enough, or I didn't water it, didn't take care of it. But consider the type of seed that you're sowing. When you plant a pumpkin seed, you're going to get what? Pumpkins. You're not going to get watermelons. And that's what the Bible is saying here. You need to consider the type of seeds that you're planting. Look what it says in verse number 8. For he that soweth to his flesh shall the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall the Spirit reap life everlasting. And I began to think and consider this and wonder, how can we make this applicable to today? And what are we sowing towards? And what type of harvest are we planning on reaping? What is it in our lives that we're spending time doing? And I came up with this. How much time do I spend sowing to the Spirit versus sowing to the flesh? How much time do I spend maybe doing the things of God and living for God and reading the Bible and listening to good Christian music, thinking on God and meditating on God and meditating on His Word? How much time do I spend in prayer versus time I spend in worldly entertainment? Now, I don't think, I've told you before, you hear me talk a little bit about sports, and I'm not a sports nut or sports, I wouldn't live and die according to it. Now, if you asked me 10 years ago, I would have been a lot more enthusiastic. 20 years ago, I would have been even what I would consider a sports nut, but that's not the case now. But I don't mind enjoying watching a little bit of some type of entertainment, sports. But what am I sowing my life to? If in my life, if I think I can read my Bible for 3 minutes a day and pray for 3 minutes a day and spend 4 or 5 hours watching TV and think I'm going to reap or harvest a great spiritual life, I'm deceiving myself. And the point number one is, don't be deceived about your sowing. Don't be deceived about your sowing. The Bible talks about meditating on the Word of God day and night. The Bible talks about praying without ceasing. The Bible speaks about how what we're going to sow, this is what we're going to reap. And so what type of harvest are you expecting with what you've been sowing and how you've been sowing? Proverbs 11:18 says, the wicked worketh a deceitful work, but to him that soweth righteousness shall be a sure reward. And we're having to move pretty quickly because I like to get into all these verses, but I want you to understand, don't be deceived about your sowing. Don't be like David and say, I don't think anybody's going to find out. Nothing's ever going to come to fruition. Nothing is going to germinate to where I'm going to have to come to the point where I'm going to see this fruit produced because of my wickedness. And that's what the devil deceives so much of us in thinking, this will never come out. Nobody will ever find out. This cannot hurt you. This will not hurt you. And the truth is, the Bible says, be sure your sin will find you out. But also, you see, you got to consider the seed. So you look at your life and say, what type of seeds am I sowing? What is it that I am planting in my life right now? Now, and after that, consider the harvest of the seed. You consider, okay, this is what I'm planning. This is what I'm spending most of my time on looking at and reading and putting before my face and putting before my eyes and putting before my ears. Okay, if I'm doing all these different things, what is it that I'm going to harvest? And I love in the Bible, they show us some different people that harvest from their sins. You think about the story of Jacob. What did Jacob do? The deceiver. Went into his father and convinced his father that he was Esau, so he would get the birthright and he would get the blessing. And it seemed like he had everything that was good because he had the better end in his mind. But he has to take off running. And then when he goes and he finds his uncle Laban, what happens there? What does his uncle Laban do? He reaps what he sows, because his uncle Laban, what did he do? He switched the sisters. So the same thing that he was doing to his own father, saying, I'm Esau, Laban goes and says, here, remember Jacob loved Rachel. He worked for 7 years for Rachel. He went through the wedding ceremony. And then on his wedding night, Laban switches and puts Leah there. For he is reaping what he has sowed. And so when we consider the seeds of our lives and the things that we're sowing out there, what is it that we're going to harvest? What is the harvest that we're expecting? Sometimes people say, Pastor, I don't understand why you want to go out and knock on doors, or why you want to pass out tracts, or why you want us to memorize scripture. All we're doing is sowing seeds. All we're doing is sowing and planting and asking God so we can reap the harvest. And it's better to do that than to do nothing. You think about the story of Jezebel and Ahab. They went and they got Naboth killed so they could take Naboth's vineyard. But Elijah finds out about this and says, thus saith the Lord, and the place where dogs lick the blood of Naboth, shall dogs lick thy blood, even thine. You know, they reaped what they sowed, and it's important that we get and understand that we will always reap what we sow. The story of Mel Trotter, who was a famous, well-known evangelist, he's probably most famously known for being such a drunkard and an alcoholic before he became knowing Christ. Once he became a Christian, he was the founder of the rescue mission superintendents. The story told that one time he was out at an ice cream shop with a church family. You know, after church, you know, the evangelist is there and they take him out somewhere like Dairy Queen. And everybody is getting their milkshakes and their ice cream cones and their banana splits. And he orders a very small little bitty glass of a carbonated water. People started giving him a hard time. You know, are you watching your weight and blah, blah, blah. And then someone asked him, why did you do it? And this was his response. He said, when the Lord gave me a new heart at conversion, he did not give me a new stomach. He said, I'm paying for the years I spent drinking, and I'll have to wait to heaven till I get my new stomach. What is the point here is that he, even though he became a Christian, he still reaped and he was still reaping what he had sowed earlier. And we got to get this principle in our mind. We got to stop letting the devil deceive us that our sin will not hurt us, our sin will not hurt our families. But instead of being deceived into believing that everything we're doing is okay, believe what God says, that whatever you'll sow, that you will also reap. And if the type of seed is so important, and it speaks of here, he that soweth to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. A visitor one time was visiting a penitentiary, passed by a cell where a man was patching his own prison garb with a needle and thread. And the visitor, wanting to begin a conversation, looked at him and said, what are you doing? Sewing? The man looked up and replied, no, I'm reaping. He was reaping the fact that he was stuck in that prison cell. And it's a wonderful play on words and helps us understand that there is many, many people today, they're ashamed because they are reaping what they have sowed earlier in their life. And they can have a testimony of God's goodness, but does not mean that they will take away what they must receive. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. You say, Pastor, that sounds pretty bad, but don't let the devil deceive you into thinking that you cannot reap good things. And that's what it's saying here is to the Spirit reap life everlasting. Think about this. On the other hand, think about Enoch. He sowed to the Spirit. He reaped the rapture. Noah sowed to the Spirit and reaped salvation. Abraham sowed to the Spirit and reaped the city with half foundations, whose builder and maker was God. Joseph sowed to the Spirit and reaped the most Christ-like character and disposition in the Bible. Moses sowed to the Spirit and reaped a place on Mount Transfiguration. Joshua sowed to the Spirit and reaped the conquest of Canaan. Hannah sowed to the Spirit and reaped Samuel. David sowed to the Spirit and reaped a royal covenant. Hezekiah sowed to the Spirit and reaped the deliverance of Jerusalem. And over, we see that God blessed those that were willing to sow to the Spirit. So don't be deceived. Two different things. You know, consider the seed that you're doing. There are people out there who says, I can get away with it and no one's ever going to find out. They've been deceived. But also the devil tries to deceive us at times thinking, oh, what you're doing doesn't matter. Oh, because of the fact that the result didn't happen quickly, you should just give up. And that's just not the case. Second thing is, don't be doubtful while sowing. Don't be deceived while sowing, but don't be doubtful while sowing. You say, Pastor, what are you getting at? If you're expecting a great harvest, I mean, maybe you set your ground up, maybe you set your field up, and you know that it's going to be a great harvest, great field there, great temperatures coming, you just got it all planned out. You're not going to sow sparingly. You're going to sow in abundance because you want a great harvest to reap. When we have certain special days, we see God's reaping. When we saw five or six people saved at our friend day, why is that? It's because people get involved and they begin sowing bountifully. They don't sow sparingly. They go out and they do everything they can to try to bring people to Christ. They pray often for it. They pray often for their special meetings. Here's the point is that when we sow, we do not need to do it doubtfully. Think about what it says in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 6 and 8. But this I say then, he that soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he that soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man according as his purposes in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver, and God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always having all sufficiency in all things may abound to every good work. So what's the Bible there saying? Saying, how much are you sowing? So we consider, look, let's not be deceived that if we sow to bad things or to the flesh, we're going to reap corruption. But if we sow to spiritual things, we're going to reap life everlasting. How much are we really truly sowing? If you go out there and you got one seed or two or three seeds and you plant it, you're not going to expect to cover the whole field, are you? Because if you just plant one seed, you might get one plant, or you may even get lucky and it produces a few plants, but you're not going to get a bountiful harvest because you're sowing sparingly. And this is where I'm coming at is how much are we sowing in our life? Are we sowing sparingly? Are we sowing bountifully? If we plant a few seeds, we're going to reap a small harvest. If we plant a large number of seeds, and that's, you say, some people say, you know, we have our potato festival where we pass out tracts and we pass out, brochures. And you say, well, how many people have we seen come to our church because of that? And we've seen some, but not a lot. But what we're doing is we're sowing, we're trying to sow bountifully. There's thousands of people that are there. And if we give out the gospel, even in written form, our prayer is that God will take that and God will use that. And you say, Pastor, you pass out tracts to people you don't know. At the same time, sometimes the same cashier, you know, what are you doing that for? What you're trying to do is you're trying to sow bountifully. You're not just putting down one seed and saying, well, I'm hoping for a whole harvest. No, I'm sowing and I'm sowing bountifully. Because how much are we really truly sowing? We sometimes believe that we do a little one thing or a little bit. I've done my work. I've done my job. I don't have anything else to do. That's sowing sparingly. And you know what type of harvest we're going to have? We're going to have a sparingly harvest or sparing harvest. Next thing I want you to think about is don't be doubtful while you're sowing. How much are you sowing? Are we sowing bountifully? Because if you're planting a great harvest, you're not going to sow sparingly. You're going to sow bountifully. It's going to be something you're going to put yourself all into doing it because you're expecting a great harvest. What type of attitude are we sowing with? What type of attitude are we sowing with? Are we doing it cheerfully and willingly? Or are we doing it grudgingly out of necessity? And the Bible says here that God loveth a cheerful giver. And I don't think it would be going too far to say that God loves a person who bountifully sows to the Spirit. Bountifully telling people about the Word of God. Bountifully reading the Bible. I was reading in one of the commentaries I was looking at, and he told a story about this godly man who had been studying the Scriptures since a child and even as a teenager was intense in his study. And as he was 20, 30, 40, 50, 60, that this man, at the age later on in life, there was a man who came up to him and says, I want to know the Bible like you. How do I do this? And the man looked at him and says, you're about 50 years too late. He says, for over 60 years of my life, I've been intensely studying the Word of God. I have been bountifully sowing to knowing the Word of God. He says, you're not going to know what I know unless you are willing to put the work and effort in that I have put in. I don't think he was saying that braggingly, but this man was only 10 years younger than he was, and he was saying, you've missed your chance. Now, you can grow and you can learn now, but don't think you're going to reap a harvest by just starting tomorrow that someone else has been sowing for many years ahead. We need to be faithful. We need to be careful. But we need to be willing, have a willing and cheerful attitude when it comes. Don't doubt about sowing. Don't doubt what the Word of God is saying here, that you will reap what you sow. And the third thing is, don't be discouraged about your reaping. Don't be discouraged about your reaping. The Bible says here in verse number 9, and let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. I guess it brought me to the question is, do you ever get weary? Do you ever get tired? I know I do. And I'm not only talking about physically sometimes, but sometimes spiritually you can get tired too. The phrase growing weary speaks of an exhaustion or a losing of heart. God is exhorting us here not to live our lives to the point of spiritual exhaustion. We are in danger of becoming exhausted when we stop walking with God fresh and new each and every day in the Word of God and in prayer. See, if we want our spiritual strength, it must come inwardly. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 4, verses 16 through 18, for which cause we faint not. It's the idea there of not growing weary. But though our outward man perish, nothing we can do with our outward man that is dying and each day gets closer to death, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, he's saying, look, our inward man can be renewed day by day. Even though physically we can get weaker, spiritually we can get stronger each and every day. Aren't you thankful for that? You sit there and you say, well, my body's getting older, I can't hear, maybe can't read as well. You know, each and every day you can renew yourself and you can grow stronger inwardly and spiritually. And the Bible puts it a little bit farther. The next verse says, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment. Our afflictions don't seem very light to us sometimes. Sometimes we become weary because we think our afflictions are so heavy, but the Bible tells us to consider Christ. And as we consider Christ, we'll see our afflictions are just light because, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. See, if we set our affections on things above, we'll realize that the light affliction we have in this world is going to just last for a little while, and we continue to renew our inward man day by day and working hard at making our inward man stronger and being strong in the Lord, being strong in the grace of God. What type of harvest are we expecting? Are we being deceived into believing that either way, number one is I can sin and get away with it, or secondly, we can be deceived in thinking the spiritual and good things we're doing is never going to reap. Are we doing it doubtfully, believing that it doesn't matter how much I give because, or it doesn't matter how much I do because it's not going to really make any difference. God's going to bless everybody the same. That's doing it doubtfully. We need to do it cheerfully and willingly. But don't get discouraged. Don't get weary. Then I began to think a little bit, why is it easy to lose heart? If me as a pastor that's around good people all the time, and you know, my job is to be a pastor and be in the Word of God and be studying and seeing all these good things, how in the world could I be discouraged? I mean, I know you guys are out in the world and you live a job that many times could discourage you. How in the world could a person lose heart or become discouraged? And there's some thoughts. One of the reasons why I think some people lose heart is because we don't see a quick result. We don't see a quick harvest. I could be wrong, but I don't think there is any seed that you can plant in one day and the next day you're going to reap some type of harvest for it. You might see some very quickly, you might see a little thing springing up, but you don't produce the fruit after just one day. Patience is involved. And what the Bible is saying here is that we will reap. That's what it's saying here. For in due season, and that's God's season, that's God's timing. We got to have faith and trust in Him in due season. One of the reasons why people get discouraged is because they want it tomorrow. They want it just like children will want. They plant their seed one day and they think that tomorrow they should see the results. It doesn't work that way. And God's work doesn't work that way many times too. We must remember that the oak tree started off as a little acorn, and it took time for it to grow and produce. Another reason why some people get it's easy to lose heart or get discouraged is because sometimes we don't get thanks or recognition. Sometimes we don't get thanks or recognition. You say, "Oh, I don't need that." You know what? The devil is very good at what he does. And he's going to do whatever he can to try to get you to where you're not doing well. And that's what it says, "And let us not be weary. Don't become discouraged. Don't give up heart. Don't lose heart in well-doing. Because in for due season, we shall reap if we faint not." We don't get thanks or recognition. And you say, "Well, how do you combat that?" You realize what we're doing is serving God. It's not serving man. It's not for man's rewards. It is nice when they are thanked. It is nice when you are recognized. But we serve God. When we start trying to serve others, we'll fail. But if our main purpose is because we love the Lord and we want to please God, then everything else will fall in the right priority. Another reason why people lose heart is because Satan dupes us into thinking that we're not making an impact. Satan dupes us into thinking that we're not making an impact. I don't know. Have you ever been there before? You witness to somebody over and over. You teach a class and you turn around. You do the best you can. And you're saying, the devil comes alongside, "You're not making a difference. Why are you doing all this work? It's worthless. You don't see any results." But what does the Bible say? The Bible says, "You will reap what you sow." The Bible says, "And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not." Now you say, "Well, Pastor, it does not seem to be working. Why continue? I don't even see the point." I don't think it's stopping. I think it's asking the question, am I sowing God's way? Am I sowing God's way? And listen to what it says in Psalms 126, verses 5 and 6. "They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed," now listen to these next words, "shall doubtless," there is no doubt about this, "shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him." We like this word, "shall doubtless come again." But the prerequisite of these things, sowing in tears, reaping in joy, going forth, weeping, bearing precious seed, "shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him." Those who are saying it's just not accomplishing, we need to say, am I doing things God's way? Am I sowing it God's way? Am I really sowing bountifully? Am I doing it rejoicing? Am I doing it with faith? There was a story of a vacuum cleaner salesman. This man kind of pushed his way into a house. And you guys think it was funny that I used to sell cars. But for 2 weeks, I was a vacuum cleaner salesman too, for 2 weeks. And it didn't last very long. I didn't like it. For 2 weeks, they told me there, and they gave me a lot of money to do it for 2 weeks. He said, and this man gets into the house and he says, "My vacuum cleaner will just pick up all those things in this floor. And if they don't, I will eat them." He goes in there. You know how the old time guys used to do it? They used to take something and they would spread it over all over the floor. And before they don't ever give you a chance to talk. He gets into this woman's house and he turns around and he puts all these things on the ground. And the woman's just sitting there watching. And the guy says, "My vacuum cleaner can pick up all those things. And if they don't, I will eat it." And the woman looks at him and says, "Well, you better get your fork and knife ready because there's no electricity in this house." Now, here's the thought is, God is our power source. And if we got to do things God's way, and if we're not doing things God's way, we're not going to have the right power source. We must understand to sow God's blessings, we must do things God's way, we must do our part, and he can do his part. Just as much as that vacuum cleaner, because there was no electricity, could not pick anything up, we cannot do things unless we're going to do things God's way. We can't do it with the wrong heart attitude. We can't do it with a lack of faith. We must be willing to say, "I'm not going to be deceived. I believe as I sow to the Spirit, as I read my Bible, as I pray, as I try to stay as close to God as I can, as I try to leave alone the things of this world. And I'm not going to do it doubtfully. I'm going to do it with faith, believing and trusting in God. And I'm going to go and I'm not going to get discouraged because I believe what the Bible says. And it says, I'm going to reap if I faint not." Look what it says in verse number 10. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially to them who are the household of faith. And it's saying, as we have opportunity, let's take advantage of it. And as we look at this passage of scripture, I want us to think for a second, what type of harvest are we really expecting to reap? Because of the way we've sowed our lives in the last 2 years, how much more do we know the Bible from what we've read of the Bible in the last 2 years? How many more prayers have we answered because of the way we've prayed in the last 2 years? How many people are we going to be reaping in the idea of seeing people saved because of the people that we've told? See, I think if we were telling more people, you say, well, maybe it's not me. No, it's not about who wins the person to Christ. Some plants, some waters, some reaps. And we got to learn that if we just do our part, we give God a chance to work, we give God a chance to bless, but we get discouraged. We say, well, because the results aren't happening, or because I can't see the difference, or because of the fact that whatever the excuse we have, we just don't sow. And because we don't sow, we don't reap. Or we begin sowing the fleshly things. So ask yourself these questions. If, because of the way I sowed in the last year, am I going to know how much more about the Bible? What type of harvest am I going to reaping when it comes to my Bible reading and my Bible knowledge? Because wouldn't we all like to know more about the Bible? I know I would. I'd like to know more and understand more about the Bible. I'd like to know greater depths of it. I'd like to have a greater understanding of it. I'd like to have a greater knowledge of all the different books of the Bible and all the different things it says. And I know a little bit. And you probably know just as much, if not more than I do. But according to this last year, when we're asking God to bless our lives and be prosperous because of the fact that we've learned the Bible, how much have we really sowed this past year? How many prayers do we really expect to be answered because of the way we sowed in prayers? How many of us have really sowed in tears, weeping, bearing the precious seed? Those are the ones that shall doubtless come again. How many of us have done that? With our giving. I know giving, that's a territory that's supposed to be off limits. How much are we going to sow based off of our giving? I love the fact that we support missionaries. I love the fact that we support multiple missionaries. And what we're doing is we are sowing, and we're trying to sow bountifully. When you hear our missions conference, you know, it's the idea, sow bountifully. Give so more can go. Keep on trying to plant. Keep on trying to seed. Keep on doing more and more to try to bring in a greater harvest. And our giving, how much are we going to reap? Now, I think we reap. Every time someone's saved and we support missions, I think Faith Baptist Church, there's a reaping there. I honestly believe that when God gets someone saved here at Friend Day and you give or you've prayed or you've invited, that's fruit to your account. I think it's fruit to your account when someone gets help in a counseling session, even if I'm the one doing the counseling, because you give so I can do things like that. I think there's fruit that abounds to the account, but according to your giving, according to your praying, according to your reading, how much are you, what type of harvest are you expecting? Because some of us are putting in that one seed saying, boy, I hope God bless us. I hope we get this great big harvest. And we've planted one seed. And we haven't even dug the hole for that one seed. We've done at the least, we did exactly what we had to do just to pacify ourselves. I'm not trying to pick on you, but how much are we really going to reap? What type of harvest are we expecting? Like I said, I'm not going to expect the watermelons when I planted the pumpkin seeds. I'm not going to expect the peaches off the apple tree. It's just not going to happen. We should not be deceived. We should not proceed doubtfully. And another thing is, I don't think we should become discouraged. It is easy to become discouraged. Maybe next week we'll look at some more of these passages of scripture a little bit deeper, or we'll just head on to the next passage. But I want you to understand, we are all sowing for a certain type of harvest. What type of harvest are, what's going to happen when our chickens come to roost? Is some type of sin going to come out in the open and we're going to be disgraced? Are we not going to be knowledgeable of the Bible to be able to explain to somebody the scriptures and why we believe in the faith that we have? Is it going to come to light that we're in financial troubles and because we haven't done things according to the way God wants us to? Or is God going to bless us with a little bit because we've given much? Or is God going to set people saved because through our church and the ministries of our church because we've given the missions and because we have sowed the seed? It might not be us personally, but we see people being saved. Or is God, we're going to see God answer prayers. Is that because of the fact that we've been sowing? What type of harvest are we going to be reaping? And in your life, what type of harvest will you be reaping with how much you've sown? Let's go ahead and stand to our feet with heads bowed and eyes closed.